Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Spectrum Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Fred Marvel. And for today's episode, I am going to be joined by autism mom, Jordan Bates. Jordan and I connected over Instagram. She has three kids. One of her boys is on the spectrum. So we talk about going through his diagnosis process and some of the therapies that she's seeking out for her son. We also go into a lot of the mental health issues and things like that can be affected when you have a child that's diagnosed with autism. So it was a really interesting interview. Jordan was very easy to talk to. So I don't want to keep you guys any longer. So please enjoy my interview with Jordan. All right. I am back today. I am joined by Jordan Bates. Jordan, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We've been messaging for a couple years now. Like last night, I was looking back to just to, you know, make sure I have like, you know, everything straight and everything.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I didn't really, either time flies or, you know what I mean?
Both, yeah.
Yeah, because I think both of our sons were going through the diagnosis process around the same time, like in 2020. Am I right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because, like my Alex is older. Right. Before we get too ahead of ourselves, you've got three kids.
Yes, I do. Right. Claire is my stepdaughter. She's 10. Then Macallan is 3 and Lincoln is 1.
Okay. Nice. Wow. You got your hands full. I just had our two youngest at the doctor's appointments and I was ready for a drink. I'm like, oh my
yeah.
God. Yeah. You know, at the same time because they're, yeah. You know, their asthma has been acting up this,
that stinks.
All winter. But anyway, back to you. Now, Macallan is on the spectrum.
Yes, he is.
He's how old did you say?
He turned 3 in December, so he's okay. 3 and some change.
Do you want to take us back to the beginning of when he was diagnosed?
Absolutely.
You know, is it something you suspected or did somebody bring it up to you?
So this was July of 2020.
Right.
And it was his 18-month well check. And he was born premature. So he was 17 months adjusted, 19 months actual. And my husband had started questioning things, and he, because Macallan didn't speak much, he had a few words, but he rarely responded to his name. And that was my husband's number one thing.
Right.
And I was like, leave him alone. He's busy, you know, yeah. He's just playing. And my big thing was he's a preemie. He'll catch up. And I mentioned my husband's concern to the pediatrician at his 18-month appointment. And she's like, you know, most preemies catch up by the time they're 2. Let's just wait and see. I said, okay. She goes, you know, make an appointment for a couple months and it'll just be a developmental check-in. And if you have more concerns, come in earlier. I said, okay, that sounds good. Put my mind at ease a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then within the next month, Macallan started losing some skills. He stopped saying the few words he had. So he said, hi, and dad, duck. So he stopped saying all those. He stopped waving. He stopped blowing kisses. And really responding to his name less eye contact. So I made another appointment with the pediatrician, and that's when I found out, you know, through Googling about the MChat and stuff like that. So
yeah.
Finally I was like, all right, maybe you have something, you know, right to my husband. And then I spent the whole night Googling and kind of, it hit me. I was like, this is exactly what's happening. So going to the pediatrician for the MChat was really just a confirmation of, what we had thought and what I kind of had just accepted. It took me a while to, you know, accept that this was going to be the case.
Yeah.
And so we were really lucky, to get him a diagnosis quickly because of, you know, COVID happening. Everything was virtual for most places and the wait lists were so long. But this new company had just come to Phoenix and they had a diagnosis appointment available a month later.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Because that's one of the things I like to ask everybody is because we have a ton of wait. The wait lists are insane. We've been waiting. We've been trying to make an OT evaluation for about a year, I think. But some of these wait times just absolutely blow my mind. But yeah, so that's good that you guys were able to get in early and, you know, get the ball rolling and everything.
Yeah, I was nervous because this place was brand new. There was not a lot of reviews from any of their other locations.
Yeah.
But then I kind of thought, oh, all right, well, it's just a diagnosis appointment. It's not therapy. So let's just go ahead with it. And, you know, because it was kind of weird that everybody else was like, oh, we're a year out for those kind of appointments in this place. It's like, oh, we can get you in next month.
Mm-hmm.
But we went ahead with it. He did get the diagnosis, and that was in October of 2020. So he was 22 months.
Okay.
And then we started therapy with him in March. We decided to just wait a little bit just because we were coming into the holidays. And then I was due with my second son and right when McAllen turned two. So we just thought maybe wait until the new year, until things had settled down a little bit at home, that would be a good time to get started. That's a lot of big life changes.
Yeah, I know. It always seems to happen at once. I mean, we went through a similar thing with our oldest, Alex. Went through like his first round of diagnosing and therapies and everything like that as my wife and I were getting ready to have our second.
Yep.
So, yeah, you know, it never
nothing.
It's never easy.
No, yeah, and then we got to add, you know, another baby on top of it. And
right.
I don't know about you, but I'm sure you guys were nervous about the new addition. I was too about how McAllen would react to a new baby and all of that.
Oh, so yeah, that's like a whole. You know, he was. I see a lot of people where they say like, their child on the spectrum is like indifferent or completely ignores the new baby.
Mm-hmm.
That was the total opposite.
Oh, really?
With us. Yes. He was like so affectionate and wanted to play with him all the time.
That's and so sweet.
Yes. But one of Alex's issues is he doesn't realize how strong he is and how much bigger he is than his younger brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we were running into problems is like, you know, it's not that he didn't want to play with them. It's like, you know, Alex was four when Daniel was born.
Mm-hmm.
You're four. You're a lot bigger than him. Like trying to get that across, like how you have to be gentle and careful, especially with newborns. And you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We had the baby's like little swing on the ground and McAllen thought it was hilarious to run across the room and jump into the swing, regardless if the baby was in there
or
not.
Oh my God.
So definitely had to move that pretty quickly once we got on. But yeah, Mac was rather indifferent, but he would just like, you know, reach over and touch him every now and then and kind of look like, what is this thing? All right, it'll do.
Yeah. Now with our third, it was the same, but by then Alex was just about to, it was 2000. Oh God, my math is bad. 2000. He was eight when our youngest was born. So by then, you know, still like extremely affectionate and like,
yeah.
And, but by then it was a lot easier. It was a lot easier for him to understand, you know,
sure.
That you have to be careful with babies and how to play with them and things like that.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mac and Lincoln, they're, you know, Lincoln thinks that Mac is just the best thing in the whole wide world. Copies him for everything. And I mean, Lincoln likes to play with rocks just as much as Mac outside.
Oh, yeah. I was cracking up at that when you were on had a video or a reel or something. I'm terrible with social media, but you were vacuuming up there, cleaning up rocks that they were playing with.
So many rocks.
Yes. Everywhere. No, that just gave me flashbacks because I told you, but Alex used to have a big, huge sensory bin that we filled with rice and beans and noodles. And yep. He would play with his Hot Wheels and everything in there. And every day we were there vacuuming up all the rice and everything.
Yes, lots of cleanup for these yeah. sensory seekers.
So how was your reaction to dealing with his diagnosis and everything like that?
You know, at the risk of sounding selfish, I guess,
right.
it was really, really hard for me. And I shared about this on social media that I don't know if the diagnosis itself or just kind of the situation being in the pandemic and mm-hmm. pregnant, I got extremely depressed. My anxiety went through the roof. At the time of Mac's diagnosis, he had really started to stem more
okay.
and do these things where I knew he'd wring his hands a lot. And I knew that meant he was frustrated because he couldn't communicate.
Right.
And, every time he would do that, I would have a panic attack. And I just felt like I was failing him in all these different ways, because anytime I would have to do anything regarding his diagnosis, paperwork, evaluations, anything like that, it took me so much, I don't know, hype up. I had to hype myself up to get yeah. these things done because my anxiety was so bad. And it took several months for me to kind of get over it and myself. I know that sounds like kind of bad, but you can't help, you know, your mental state at the time, and each parent's different. And
oh yeah, no, you're not, you know, I think we all go through it because, you know, you're having a kid, you're getting ready to have a son, and you know, like we all do it, moms and dads, you know, you think about doing all the things that you have planned, and you know, mm-hmm. whatever it is, you know, baseball games or, you yeah. know, all the typical things you do with boys. And then, you know, something like that definitely changes it. I mean, you know, yeah. Alex is about to be 13, and we still go through it from time to time when you see areas where he struggles with things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it was a lot of those early days. It was a lot of
right.
guilt and what if and what did I do? What did I do wrong? Did I cause this?
Okay.
But that was a big thing for me. And another thing that was really hard during that time was just my marriage. You know, and people don't talk about this a lot, how it can affect, you know, mom and dad and how they're dealing with it together. And for us, we really kind of just shut down. We didn't want to talk about it to each mm-hmm. other. And so it just created distance during a time that can feel really lonely and isolating anyway, as, you know, a parent of a newly diagnosed child.
Right. Yeah, you know, one thing that we ran into too is all of these like appointments and therapies and everything like that. You just kind of, you know, it's like it's almost like your coworkers at times instead of parents, because it's like, all right, well, we've got, you know, this appointment Monday, and then these people are coming to the house to observe on Tuesday, and
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean. And then
at
work, you know, like your real job on top of it, taking care of other kids and. You know, and everything like that. It's like, holy, you know, how do you have time for,
yeah.
have time for each other?
Yeah. It's very, very difficult. We're still trying to figure that out.
Oh, I know. We still go through it too.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, all right, you've got to plan it. We've got to plan things out so far in advance.
Yeah.
To, you know, line up.
Yep.
Line up babysitters, and then the right kind of babysitters, because,
yes.
you know, being completely honest, you know, Alex will, you know, run wild on somebody that kind of like isn't prepared for him. You
yep.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So. You got to find the right person, and then
right.
Oh yeah, I know. And then you got to help they stay healthy, and that's been a challenge for my boys. You know, they've got Max got some health stuff going on, so yeah, it's kind of easier just to stay home
Oh,
sometimes
I
with
yeah,
them.
I yeah, I we've been through it too. The last few months between like croup and double ear infections, our 4-year-old broke his elbow playing out in the yard.
Oh
Yeah, Jesus, it's like.
no. That's right. I forgot both of our boys both had croup and double ear infections, like
Yes.
right at the same time.
I know. Oh God, I know. We need a vacation after this.
Yes, I hear you.
Yeah. But now, how old is Mac now?
Just three and some change.
Okay, so what does his day look like? Does he go to like a preschool? Is it
Yep.
like okay?
Yeah, he goes to a developmental preschool, and it's a really cool program. So, where he goes, it's called SARC. It's the Southwest Autism Research and
Okay.
Resource Center. And their preschool is half neurotypical kids and half kids that are autistic.
Right.
And so 8 to 12, it's ABA based for all kids. And it's just a fantastic preschool. And he has three afternoon sessions with the same therapists that work in the preschool. So that's really nice. Two are on campus, one's at our home. And so they just spend a lot of time with him, and he's really familiar. Then Friday afternoons are our only weekdays off because Tuesdays he's got physical therapy and feeding therapy right now, but you know we're gonna switch up some therapy soon and go back to speech and OT. But
Okay.
he's a busy little guy.
Yeah. Now, if you don't mind me asking, because I know I when you just said feeding therapy, I completely forgot that I had asked you about that before.
Yeah.
What does feeding therapy look like for anybody that's not familiar with it?
So feeding therapy is she does a whole bunch of things. Like I didn't realize how many different things that she helps with. Picky eating is one, and what that's what we've been focusing on the majority of the time. But she can also help with proper ways to chew and swallow and more of those like motor skills.
Right.
And we haven't really moved into that just because Mac does have some chewing and swallowing issues because of his low muscle tone, but because he struggles with being such a picky eater, she was like, you know, let's just stick with this and try to expand his palate for a while because what
Yeah.
he's doing is working, you know, kind of using his fingers to get his food in the back of his teeth and mouth. So
Okay.
we haven't done that yet, but the feeding therapist just gives us good suggestions with how to introduce new foods. And just all these brilliant ideas, like, okay, if he doesn't want to eat the food, then have a little bowl, and that's the all done or the trash bowl, and everything he doesn't want to eat, encourage him to take it off his plate and put it in the bowl. So I will grab some things, you know, and be like, okay, my turn. Now it's Mac's turn. And that way he's actually touching all the food that he didn't consume. But that's a big win, is, you know, even touching
Yeah.
something that he doesn't want to eat. So all these things that are seemingly simple, but I would have never thought of them. It's been incredibly helpful.
Nice. That's good to hear. That's good. And then that's good. That's a good explanation for people that like me. I messaged you because I wasn't familiar with it, and because Alex is an extremely picky eater.
Yeah, some of these things, like just she's like, okay, well, you take a food he really likes, like Ritz crackers. And you know, he Max struggles with textures, so we always try to do something like kind of wet or creamy, like a
Okay.
yogurt or hummus or whatever, and just do a little bit of that on something that he likes, and just really, really slow. And she said a big thing is trust with the kid. You never want to try and hide something on their food just to sneak it to them.
Yeah.
So yeah, just that the integration of preferred and non-preferred foods in different ways, that's been really helpful. And it's if you can get in to see her, you know, to see a feeding therapist for your picky eater, I highly recommend it just because I think we get so burned out of trying to think of all these things. It's nice to have a new, you know, pair of eyes.
Oh yeah, so, you know, I'm sure you guys do the same thing, but we're making like you know, two separate meals.
Oh yeah,
each night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I, you know, at least Alex is like, some of his preferred foods are like vegetables and everything. So nice. It's not like, you know, I'm not like, you know, too concerned, but it would be nice to just be able to make like one meal of things, you know, things that he likes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to keep you any longer. Thank you so much for coming on today. And thank you so much for being so open and honest with everything. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun. And I really enjoyed talking to you.
Where can people connect with you if they want to ask you any questions privately?
I am mostly on Instagram, and I love answering questions and talking to people. It's Jordan _D_Bates. Perfect. And I'm sure you can link me. It's a terrible username.
Sure. Yeah, no, I will. All right. Thank you so much, Jordan.
All right. Thanks, Fred.
All right.
Bye.
I really hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode of The Spectrum Dad. If you did, please leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. They help make the podcast more visible to new listeners, and I really appreciate them. And I can't let you guys go without the Spectrum Dad joke of the week, so here it is. I wanted to go on a diet, but I feel like I have way too much on my plate right now. Thanks for listening, guys. If you want to connect with me, I am on Instagram at the Spectrum Dad Pod. Please feel free to send me a message if you have any questions or if you want to be a guest on the show. I'd love to hear from you. Talk to you guys later. See ya.